Good evening.
Good evening.
We'll be starting in a minute or two.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimina,
Kabelina.
The sequence Yud-Kaf-Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then returning it to the body in its newly recreated stem cell state, perfected state. Will again do its job as it was meant to do. Barchem tachalom, amen. Beit haresh, chasin kadosh. Shabbatenu Kabel, Shabbatenu Kabel. And now we're going to read the verse from last year, Samuel Beth 7:10, that brings peace to the Middle East. Wasam ti makom leami liyisrael unta ti wasam tachas odelo yosifu v'nei adlat la'anese kacher barishona. And the three vocals that connect to the energy of this year, starting with Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama alot
v'meni
lo tarmeni adli ruvi. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. And then the third verse is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. And we're going to now read from the Zohar, from section 3 of the Parsha of Shlach Lecha. We're going to read Pasuk 8 and start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Le'achda Hashem Yudke Bevavke Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Tachati Moshe Hawa Shivim Sha'uva'a Ve'ala'a Le'ara Al Kudsha Barichu Moshe Tadatein Nechola Deshimsha Yit Kelil Sihara Begavaya Ashta Tiyan Chimshimsha Ech Yakumun Kahada Shimsha Vesihara La Nahir Sihara Ela, v'shishatam de'itkenish shimsha aval hashta leya ant yakil itivei leminda mina shalach lecha anashim legarmach Begin Leminda. Come and see. Moses was the aspect of the sun, which is Zeranpin, and he wished to enter the land of Israel. The Holy One, blessed be He, told him, Moses, when the sunlight arrives, the moon, which is Malchut, is included in it, and her quality is invisible. Now you are the sun, and if you enter the land, which is the secret of the moon, meaning Malchut, how can the sun and the moon stand together if the moon shines only when the sun is gathered in? However, now you cannot enter the land, and if you wish to know about it, send you men, meaning for your sake, so that you shall know. My commentary. Yes, it is true that the moon shines when the sun is shining, yet the moon cannot be seen due to the strength of the sun. Now, when we read the Zohar, we need to ask, did Hashem pull Moshe into sending the Torah in order to test the nation? I think the answer is yes. Yet Moshe also knew about the test and did what he could to create a protection shield for the nation. Does anybody have any questions? Tonight's class is class number 79 in Advanced Reincarnation Series. You can find it on the YeshM website on the Revealed Wisdom section. In row 15, the second column from the left of the matrix that's on the Revealed Wisdom page. And we are starting section 33:1b, Reuben, the firstborn. From the good side of Cain came Canaan and Mahalalel. as mentioned in the Zohar. After that, Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, was born. He would have received the firstborn rights of Cain, the firstborn of Adam, had it not been for the episode of Bilhah. The firstborn right goes part and parcel with guarding the Brits, the covenant. Reuben disturbed the bed arrangements of Jacob, which on his exalted level was counted as a lack of guarding the Brit. Joseph, who was outstanding in guarding the Brit, took it over. Although not mentioned in Scripture, the Midrash tells that Cain took the extra wife of Abel. Here the Arizal reveals that the spark of Cain in Reuben caused him the incident with Bilhah. Soul root sparks tendencies in their animated, incarnated aspect. Reuben used the Cain energy for good. The name of Reuben comes from Arubain, see the distinction between Reuben and Esau. Esau is also from Cain. See the distinction between Reuben, who used the Cain energy for good, and Esau, who did the opposite. Like Cain, they are both firstborn. The rabbis explain that all Reuben did was switch the bed of Bilhah. His intention was to protect the honor of his mother, Leah, who was treated somewhat secondary while Rachel was alive. After her death, he reasoned that Rachel's maidservant should not enjoy first-level status over his mother. Even though his intentions were good, he was held accountable for having disturbed his father's marital arrangements. Nonetheless, the scenario shows a spark of Cain making progress. An outright crime graduated to become a subtle disturbance. This is a general theme found in the Gilgul process, the reincarnation process. Just as the metal gets more and more refined each time it goes through the furnace, so are souls purified more and more each time they come back. This paragraph starts by mentioning that Canaan and his son Mechalel are from the good of Cain, what seems to have no connection to the continuation about Reuben. Mechalel means praisemaker. He furthered the good of Cain by being busy, as David, praising God. This empowered the good of Cain to step further in Reuben and open a channel for the revelation of the grand firstborn energies. Even though it was too high to remain by Reuben, he opened a channel for his following offspring to eventually do it completely. When he sinned, he also lost the priesthood. According to the Targum, the Aramaic translation of the Torah, The verse, Reuben, you are my firstborn, foremost in size, in rank, and foremost in power, refers to the birthright, the priesthood, and also the kingship. The secret of size is that it refers to the priesthood, which is alluded to with respect to Cain as well. When he sinned, he also lost the priesthood, which is called Seis. God told Cain before he murdered his brother, if you do well, Seis, you will be uplifted. And if you don't do well, sin crouches at the door. The Arizal reveals that this is the source of Seis that is said by Reuben. The meaning of Seis is to lift up. The good part of Cain is super good. The birthright, the priesthood, and the kingship are the outstanding forms of prominence being raised up that are found in the world, which is like the world to come, the source of all elevation, where the three heads will shine in full brilliance. God gave Cain a heads up as to what he could merit if he withstands coming tests. This is written in the Torah to call attention to the fact that God does this in different ways to varying degrees for everyone. Also, each person can merit extraordinary things. Man was made to ascend, and the sky is the limit. My commentary. When one starts the study of Kabbalah, one is shown and given a taste of what it is to come. This whets the appetite and causes one to do more, to search for more and greater connection to the light. This is what is being said above. The usual experience is one truly never reaches the ultimate, heads up, as that is what is received when the tikkun is completed. There are many of these heads up, and then we do receive the full essence. And not just the taste, yet always know this is the hierarchy being displayed. The three forms of prominence are all interrelated. They are all forms of being a head. They come from the three heads that are found in Keter. The head of the Sephirot, this itself is the source of the extra specialty of the good part of Cain. The patriarchs fixed up the original sin, as the sages teach. Jacob, our father, did not die. They removed the cover of extraneous material that cloaked the good of Cain. Automatically, the firstborn of Jacob, the culmination of the patriarchs, found a major expression of the good of Cain within him. Nonetheless, the tribes were imparted with the job of taking the work of the patriarchs to the next level. Therefore, there still had to be a test for this to express. Even though Reuben as if did not seem to pass the test 100%, the special levels of good were channeled through him and brought into the world. Joseph took the firstborn right. Levi took the priesthood, and Judah took the kingship. This allows the three heads of Keter to come out and do their thing to perfect the universe. The whole point of the redemption is to reveal the firstborn aspect, which includes the three components that were just mentioned. The unification was later actualized in the people after suffering the pangs of Egyptian servitude. The first thing God told Moses to say to Pharaoh in his mission to redeem them was, "My son, my firstborn Israel." This implies that the whole point of the redemption is to reveal the firstborn aspect in all of its triple facets. "And this shall be the sign that I sent you to redeem them. When you take the people out, they shall serve Elohim on this mountain," Mount Sinai, "by the giving of the Torah." The goal of the redemption from Egypt was to be manifest there. And so before the Torah was given, it says, "And you shall be for me a kingdom of Kohanim, priests, and a holy nation." Kingdom hints to the crown of kingship. Kohanim means the crown of priesthood. Holy alludes to the crown of firstborn who is holy. The three heads were brought together in the entire nation. Therefore, if they had only held on to the level attained by the giving of the Torah, no exile would have followed. The forefathers are rooted in Atzilut, and they made the tikkun there. The tribes took it a step further down and drew the repair to Berea. The 12 tribes come from the 12 diagonal borders of Berea. Then came the 70 soul stage out of the 70 Sephirot of Yetzirah. They exploded into the 600,000 of Egypt, who operates out of Asiya. to this day, their offspring fix in this world. My commentary. Do not make the mistake to think that fixing the world means fixing others. It means change yourself. Any action that you think is wrong needs to be changed within you so that the test, which is not to do that action again, or to do that action again, is passed. A good example in our generation is global warming. It will not be solved by governmental fiat or laws, but by people coming to understand that they need to stop releasing greenhouse gases that are part of the everyday things in their lives that are make their lives comfortable. The only tool that will do this is the study of Kabbalah and the use of the Hebrew letters to affect change within each individual. That's the end of the section. Does anybody have any questions? Chapter 33, Section 1C, Issachar of the Jasmines. After Reuben did Teshuvah, he merited bringing the Duadim, the jasmine flowers, which resulted in the birth of Issachar, who is from the good side of Cain, the firstborn. Eve said when Cain was born, I have acquired a man with God, which is actually an allusion to Cain's rectification through Issachar, since both Eve and Leah were from the level of Bina, which as we know is called Ima Ila'a, the supernal maternal aspect. Both Rachel and Leah are from Eve, who is of a dual nature. Actually, there were two Eves. Each one embodies a different mode. Leah, the upper Bina aspect. Rachel, the lower Malchut aspect. Together, they form the complete archetype, the feminine principle above. My commentary. The two Eves Midrash gives rise to the various legends of Lilith. This name is not to be pronounced, and we use the name LL, especially at night. One of these Midrashim indicates that LL would not have sex with Adam on top. Thus, she became the consort of the Satan and is now considered the female aspect of the negative system. It is also said that Adam had relations with LL, while Chava was seduced by the Satan. This is a metaphor for the relationship of the male-female, sun and moon, man and woman. Remember, the moon asked, how can there be two kings? There are two Mashiachs, so there can be two kings. This is something that makes the males of our species will come to know as they experience the growth of the feminine and balance the universe with respect to the paternalistic nature of the various humanities, human society. At least that's my opinion. Jasmine, or mandrake, according to other translations, was known to have birth powers. Rachel had not as of yet had children and was willing to sacrifice a night of the privilege of being with Jacob in order to increase her chances of conception. Leah waited for Jacob to come from the field and ushered him into her tent. The firstborn takes a double portion in the inheritance because spiritually he actually participates in the conception of the following children. This is why specifically Reuben, the firstborn, brought the Duadim. The Duadim transfers from Leah to Rachel embodies a shift in the supernal realms of blossoming powers from upper to lower rungs. Issachar is a result of this. Although it is not known for sure, it does not seem from the simple story of Scripture that the Dudaim aided Rachel's conception, as she gave birth to Joseph, her firstborn, at a later point. And it says that, and Elohim heard her, and he opened her womb, that it was directly from God. Let us examine some of his level in order to then look back at these his roots and understand their inner mechanics. My commentary. It normally comes as a shock to most people, since the word Dudaim translates usually as mandrake, due to the human belief that mandrakes relate to fertility, primarily due to its appearance as a little man. As the comment indicates, it is questionable to relate the birth of Joseph to the Dudaim. Yet it is quite possible, in my opinion, that the firstborn energy was transferred to Rachel from Leah, thus to Joseph from Reuben. The tribe of Levi has no portion in the land. God is their portion. They are to be busy with spiritual pursuits alone. The Rambam teaches that every person has the option to be like Levi. By letting go of worldly endeavors and fully focusing on the above. Hanoch is adding, while it is true that everyone has this option, it is not the correct path for everyone. The story from the Zohar regarding Rabbi Shimon leaving the cave after 12 years and being sent back for another year is the source of my understanding of this truth. Issachar is a pioneer who paved the path for all who wish to do so. Because he was born to this world and has his portion in it, and nevertheless restrains himself from making it a focus. He is continuously connected above and is extra bound to the world that is coming. According to the Or HaChaim, his name means Yesh Sechar. There is reward in the world that is coming. The Arizal tells that the catalyst of his birth is the Teshuvah of Reuben. The Zohar states that Teshuvah comes from Bina, the eighth Sephirah that lies a rung above the known reality. His name has two shins. One is pronounced, the other is not. There are those who have accustomed to pronounce the second shin with his birth. The first time Issachar's name is read in public, Torah reading on Shabbat. The form of this letter is three heads sitting on a base. The three-headed shin corresponds to the three heads of Keter, corresponding to the crowns of priesthood, kingship, and Torah. One can only be born into the first two, whereas Torah can be acquired by anyone. It also includes the other two. As seen above, that by the giving of the Torah to the whole people, they were all called a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Torah includes them all. The Teshuvah of Reuben, who had all three, empowers Issachar to be a vessel for some degree of their manifestation, both the three heads of this world and the next. The complete tikkun of Cain came through Issachar. Thus, there is a hint to the fact that the complete tikkun of Cain came through Issachar, who was born as a result of an acquisition, just as Cain is so called, for Leah bought the right to be with Jacob from Rachel as a result of the Dudaim, as it says. Therefore he shall lie with you tonight in return for your son's Dudaim. My commentary. Does this mean that Jacob did not have choice in the matter? Marital rights belong to the woman. A man may not reduce the marital rights of his wife. In some cases, this means that he is unable to divorce certain wives that come through certain means. Marrying a war captive is an example. For me, this aspect is problematic, since it would imply that a woman who sets her sights on a married man is entitled, perhaps, to bed him. Women are higher, but they are also lower than men. Through Ruach HaKodesh, a woman may know that she is to bring certain DNA connections to the world by having sex with that man. There is much to contemplate here. Blessed is Avram to El, the Highest One, who acquires heaven and earth. We learn from this that Avram is one of the God's five special acquisitions in his universe. God, as if, lost ownership of his world when he made it and separated it from himself. And he repossessed his world through Avram. Eve lost divinity by her mistake and possessed godliness by giving birth. This reveals a great depth of how awesome the Cain root is through its special relationship to reestablish between man and God in the closest, most interpersonal manner. This sheds light on the source of Cain's mistake. His name also comes from Kinah, jealousy. A person is only jealous because they see somewhere else something that they want, because they feel that it really does belong to them. A piece of divinity fell away from them through Adam's mistake and is now found somewhere else. My commentary. Language limits our understanding of jealousy. There is a spark of light in everything formed in the world, in the creation, either by Hashem or by man, or it would not be formed. When the creation is perfected completely, as it is perfect for the moment in the process now, that spark will be revealed by the proper vessel in its proper location. Jealousy is wanting that spark at the wrong time or the wrong vessel for that spark. Yet a similar spark awaits the person who is jealous. Zealousness is a stronger form of jealousy and may be the right action at that moment in time, yet may also be a more destructive form of jealousy as well. This is my opinion. God has a much greater degree of favor to show Cain. For this reason, he has to undergo great obstacles to attain it. Cain, the firstborn, is supposed to get a double portion. Cain was jealous of Abel's receiving the divine favor, and also that his brother had an extra wife. He sees not just that Abel has twice as much as him, but that the additional wife is actually his soulmate. This big switch comes about because they eat from the tree of good and evil, which switches them around and causes this big mix-up. My commentary. We see the spiritual principle of satanic chaos at work here. When Satan is given permission to wreak extensive chaos, even good people can get caught up in this chaos. This applies to the physical world, but it also applies in the spiritual, in the reincarnation levels. The Shoah was chaotic, and also the reincarnation of the 60 million who died in the Second World War, as to families and religious teachings, as to locations, was also just as chaotic. This is the reason for the significant number of intermarriages, conversions, and movement of individuals and families throughout the world. Reuben comes from the Cain root and fixes it. He was born to the most exalted acquisitions. When he lost what was his, he was not jealous. As mentioned, Reuben, see the distinction between him and Esau, who was so jealous that he was ready to kill, just as Cain did at the beginning of days. At first, Leah was upset at Rachel's request for the Dudaim, to almost take away my husband and to also take my son's Dudaim. This is understood in light of the story of Jacob's matrimony. He wanted Rachel and made a deal with Laban to work for her 7 years. At the end of the term, Laban pulled a switch on him and gave him Leah instead. Even though Jacob and Rachel set signs between them to avoid this, Rachel gave over the signs to Leah for a final moment to prevent her from being embarrassed. This act of giving away what was hers rectified Cain's taking what was not technically his. Rachel ended up not losing Jacob, for he worked another 7 years and also married her. And I am adding, he married her after 1 week. God has his ways of setting the score straight, and our job is to sometimes sit tight and wait patiently for him to do this. And Rachel was jealous of her sister. Jealousy of scribes increases wisdom. The holy jealousy of Rachel fixes the selfish jealousy of Cain. It revolved around birth, that Leah had children and she didn't. Birth is the main channel for the fixing of souls, for they were disturbed by the original sin. Rachel's jealousy here helped draw and repair the soul roots for all time. He does not withhold good for those who walk in simplicity. Leah was said to be destined to marry Esau. This is all understood more deeply in the fact that Leah was said to be destined to marry Esau. She found out that he was wicked and cried to be saved from this. People said that the Esau-Jacob twins would marry the Leah-Rachel twins, the oldest to the oldest and the youngest to the youngest. God heard her prayers and gave her to Jacob instead. This explains why her firstborn Reuben specifically comes to fix the Esau, the Cain root. My commentary. Esau and Jacob lived in the land of Israel, while Rachel and Leah lived in Ur-Kasdim, a great distance away. Yet both families heard from and about each other, since there were constant commercial caravans from Egypt to the great cities of the east, and possibly even further. After Eve's reacquiring divinity was disrupted by Cain's sin, the Eve root worked through Rachel and Leah. They fixed it by Rachel acquiring from Leah, resulting in Issachar and his world that is coming connection. The chasing away of the highest levels of godliness caused by the original sin was bought, and brought back into the world through this whole scenario. So Issachar, the fifth portion, Leah's fifth son, was from the side of good, was born. Since he is from the level of Nefesh, which is called Asiyah, there were in him a connection to Klipot and to the Zuhama, the dirt of the snake, who attacks the heel. Therefore Esau, who is called Snake, had a hold on him, and he is called the heel of Esau. since he is from Asiyah, which is called the heel, it being the lowest of realms. Leah's seven children correspond to the seven lower Sephirot in order, so Issachar aligns with Hod. In the body, it expresses as the left leg. This is the place that Satan damaged when he lost the wrestling match with Jacob. It caused him to limp. And I am adding, Hod also represents the manifestation of the spiritual in the spiritual. Both Pesach Sheni, the second chance, and Lag BaOmer. Reuben is the catalyst for Hod, Issachar's birth. He corresponds to Chesed. These Sephirot find interlinkage in Aaron, who is the fifth, the Hod representation or representative of the seven shepherds. And a Kohen is called a man of Chesed. The Hanukkah Hod miracle happened through Kohenim. Issachar acquired the crown of Torah, as mentioned. The crown of Torah includes the other two, priesthood and kingship. Issachar Hod is the forerunner of Hanukkah. Excuse me. He restores to the world the special inner hidden light of Torah. This snatches back and retrieves the levels stolen by Satan from Jacob in their battle. Through Issachar's Mesirot Nefesh for Torah, his descendants were able to give their lives for the Torah and draw a new revelation of its light, a new shining of the hidden light of creation. This is in line with, and the children of Issachar know Bina. The temple was restored and the Kohanim shone their brightest and even temporarily took hold of the kingship. We see now a little of why the Arizal here mentions that Issachar is the fifth son. Jacob snatched them from Esau. In the secret of his hand was holding onto the heel of Esau. And Issachar was born from this level of Nefesh. Much later in time, Rabbi Akiva ben Joseph, whose name has within it a Akev, was born from this level of Nefesh. As we alluded to in previous discussions, based upon Midrash Ruth of the Zohar, that Issachar is from Rabbi Akiva. This all finds full elaboration above in the 32nd chapter. This Hod of Esau caused the friction in the story around Issachar's birth. It also caused Rabbi Akiva to not learn during the first 40 years of his life. As mentioned, Jacob comes from the Akev, the heel, because his glory primarily comes out at the tail, heel, or end of days. Issachar, Yeshchar, is a special sneak peek preview of this level here and now. All those who make spiritually their primary focus also draw from this aspect. Therefore, he comes specifically from Jacob snatching Esau's heel, capturing the prime Tohu lights in Esau that are to shine out at history's conclusion. The snatching of the aspect of the sneak peek. Rabbi Akiva furthered this tikkun and built a legion of 24,000 students. Rabbi Akiva furthered this tikkun and built a legion of 24,000 students who drew from this deluxe level. It was such a high category that it could not remain in the world as it was, and they died an untimely death. The rabbis attribute their death by plague to a lack of treating each other properly. Because they come from such a high level, they were treated with a very strict standard, especially since they were connected to Rabbi Akiva, who, as mentioned, descended to the original thought of creation, with judgment, with din. But their having had a brief heyday drawing from this premium category brought it a step closer to the world and paved the way all the more for it to eventually fully manifest at the end of days. He started again and rebuilt from five super students who parallel the five special possessions of God in this world. See above about the root of these five disciples in the five powers of Giborah. Through them, the whole world will become the special possession of the one above in the final redemption. My commentary. A few years ago, one of our students, Batya from Louisiana, sent me a note regarding Issachar that she had read. It is appropriate to add this to your knowledge of the name and the soul of Issachar. Here it is. Issachar, the son of Joseph, the tribe, the dweller in tents, studied Torah, discerner of times, supported by his brother Zebulun. And you can see Issachar is Yud, Shin, Shin, Kaf, Resh. There are two shins in his name. One is silent. One reason given for the silent shin in Issachar's name is that he, Issachar, named his son Job. Later he learned this was a disgraceful name, the name of a heathen god. So he gave his son a shin from his name and renamed him Yashu. Hence his name is pronounced as if it were written with only one shin. Job has the meaning of he will cry, the cry of woe. Yashu has the meaning of actively returning, he will return. And the sons of Issachar, Tola and Puka, and Lob, or Yob, the Hebrew for Job, and Shimon. The sons of Issachar, after their families of Tola, the family of the Tolaites, of Puva, the family of the Punites, of Yashub, the family of the Yashubites, of Shimron, the family of Shimronites. These are verses from the Tanakh. Where we learn about the sons of Issachar and their families. We don't have enough time to finish the Nedav and Avihu section for 1C, so we will pick that up next week. Are there any questions? Speaking of questions, please send me your questions for answer tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 7. And please make a note in your calendars that our Rosh Chodesh connection for Tammuz will take place a week from tomorrow night on the 17th of June. It will be at 7 o'clock West Coast time. Thursday at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class in the new discussion, the new parashah. Sunday morning, we will continue our class on the mitzvot of the B'nai Noah, the children of Noah. Monday night at 7 p.m., we will continue our class on eating as a tikkun, class number 2. Sunday night at 1 p.m., we will have our 6th class in the basic class in the city of Atlanta, and you're all welcome to tune in through the conference call. We always need reinforcing and reliving the teachings of the basic class. Next Tuesday night, we will have our 80th class of Advanced Reincarnation. Have a beautiful week. Also, please note, Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. West Coast time, we will have our mini Zohar classes. And that's not 4 p.m., that's 4:30 p.m. Please join us. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you. Bye, Lakota.